Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, y'all. What is going on? Welcome to our homes. You are joining us for episode 16 of Batwoman Season 1. It's Through the Looking Glass. And I'm your host, Ali Kona Bradford, joined by a very wonderful lady. Hello.
Hi, everyone. Katie here from our homes again. Happy to be back talking episode 16.
Yay. Okay, so it is your job. Do we have anybody in the chat, Katie?
Yeah, I'm on the chat. I have it open on my computer.
Awesome. So if you are in the chat, you know what to do. If it's your first time joining us because you are stuck in the house and looking for new content, welcome. You are co-hosting the show with us, so just make sure you hashtag everything ABTV Batwoman when you're on social media. And of course, let us know your opinions throughout the show because we like hosting with you. So first thing is first, who is your hashtag badass beast? In the chat, I'll let you guys think about it. Katie, give me yours.
All right, so my badass beast was actually going to be Luke this episode.
What? Because
I know, just because of that episode where he confronts the guy who he thinks killed his dad.
Reggie,
I mean, that's not easy for anyone to do. And to, I don't know if he would have kept a level head if things hadn't gone the way they did, but it seemed like he was holding a level head up until that point. So I know that's a weird badass beast to choose, but I just felt like anybody who has to deal with that and handles it somewhat well, they get props, even though we don't know if he had would have gone evil had it been later, but.
That's so ironic because I was going to ask everybody after I did the badass beast. I used to do hashtag who I love to hate and Arrow. And I know some of you guys used to watch the Arrow after show. And I was going to pick Luke for my who I love to hate. So you and I are going to have a little bit of a debate. That's awesome. But my badass beast is actually going to be Alice this episode because she opened her heart. She trusted. And unfortunately, she got betrayed.
Yes.
So sad.
Again.
Yeah. So I'm curious, like, quick answers. Who are we getting in our chat? Who's their badassies?
So let's see. Ivan Soto said Mary for supporting Luke, which Ivan, I agree with that. Mary was pretty awesome in this episode. That's all I'm seeing right now. But if you guys think of anything, you know, maybe I can shout him out a little bit later when we do our other badass beast area section later. So
okay. So overall, Katie, did you love this episode? What did you think?
50-50. I don't know. I knew, like I said, I know we talked about last week how we did think that we were going to have to see Kate coming to terms with the fact that she just killed someone and the darkness in her. For a little bit at first, I was thinking, okay, I don't know how I feel about her teaming up with Alice. It's only going to go badly. But I think about halfway through, I was like, all right, this is an interesting turn that they're doing. Instead of seeing like Alice help Kate, you're seeing Kate help Alice. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it.
See, so. I really liked it. And one of the reasons is because there were a couple times in this episode where I was watching it and I did one of these. And I was like, if this show can make me jump that high in my seat, then they're obviously doing a good job in terms of the element of surprise and not making predictable. Then again, sometimes I'm bad at predicting shows. So that could be why. But let's talk a little bit about Alice and Kate, because this episode disappointed me a lot in that essence, because I thought, okay, like you said, it's neat to see them together. It's not something you would expect, especially willingly. They had something to quote unquote bond over, but there was a really nice moment where you got to see the sisters be sisters the way they would have been if they had the opportunity to grow up together. And, you know, both of them showed some really awesome vulnerability. So then when it came to the time where Kate turned around and she betrayed her sister, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I get that Alice has done a lot of bad stuff in her life, but at the same time, psychologically, you have to understand where she's coming from. And she's really trying to be a good person, especially to her sister, promising and trusting and keeping her promise, and then to betray her. Like, good Lord, you're just causing an even deeper wound.
Yeah, I mean, it was already, she was already on, like, what's it called? Like, already not in the best place because she betrayed Alice once.
Right. How could you do that again?
Like, girl.
It made me not like her. And yeah. I love Kate. But I get that they were trying to pull the whole, like, see, Kate's excuse was, I could feel myself becoming my sister. Oh, and the other thing is I killed my sister's killer. Sorry. And I didn't feel anything when I killed him. And that's when I knew I couldn't deal with this anymore. And I was like, okay, listen to what you just said. I get that you killed the person, but Alice broke it down very well when she said, do not feel guilty. You killed the man that tore her family apart, that tortured her. Like, he was a bad, bad man. He did not deserve to live. You got your family vengeance and you're over here feeling guilty. And then you go and betray your sister again. What?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some people in the chat that agree with you. They were very upset with Kate.
Share. So. Who's there? What did they say?
Ivan said, I can't lie. I was very angry at Kate for betraying Alice. Don't hate me. No, we understand, Ivan.
I was so mad.
Peter Parker 3000 said, little bit of a conflict of interest there, Peter Parker. I mean, you know, but anyway, the episode made me love Alice even more and dislike Kate, because she betrayed Alice when she knows her sister went through a lot of crap and will hate her even more.
Well, and the thing is like, the biggest problem that Alice had, or the hurt that she endured so much, was as a little girl being left behind. And all she wanted was her sister to come find her and look for her. And they probably did this on purpose, but the moment when we had the flashback earlier of the two little girls and Alice being on one side, Beth, when she was Beth, and then Kate being on the other side of the door, and Kate almost knocked and didn't knock, and Beth was like, please find me, please. So it's like they reincarnated that moment, and freaking Kate effed it up again with her dad. Like, what? It infuriated me.
Yeah.
I mean, did you feel misled at all during this episode?
Yeah, I don't know if misled was it. I was a little bit thrown, because I was like, okay, she wants to do right by her sister, so she's going to help her sister, which felt
that
correct.
Was weird. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I was, because I remember when, as soon as it clicked, though, as soon as Alice walked into the room, though, I was like, she's not going to do it, is she? Like, I kind of guessed that she was going to close the door behind her, but it wasn't until that point where I was like, oh, damn.
Well, and here's the thing, right? Kate's a hypocrite. And Alice has been pointing it out. I mean, she's not as bad as Alice, but she's killed somebody. We are more like than you'd like to admit. Cool, fine. But in efforts to capture Alice and put her into that little pen in Arkham, she hurt so many people. You know, she didn't kill them, but does that make it any better? She just broke into a place, whooped all these dude butts, hurt them, stabbed the guy in the leg. Like, how does that make you a better person? I guess sacrifice the masses to get the one person in jail so that way she can't hurt anyone else. What?
Yeah, that part, because I thought the same thing you did when that happened. I was like, she just, like a scene from a freaking video game, went through all random on all these guys and just beat them up. And
what? Yeah, it was weird. It was
something
a little weird.
Line up. Yeah.
But that said, I'm really curious for you guys what your favorite Alice and Kate moments were, if you had any. Same for you, Katie, if you had any, because I had a couple as well.
Alice and Kate moments?
Mm-hmm.
As far as Alice and Kate moments, I did like the scene. I just like the scene where you get to see them have that bond as sisters, and I feel like we've gotten more of those in both the last two episodes, where you're really starting to see that they do care about each other. And then I think there was two, but then there was the one where they were talking about the butterfly knife.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, how'd you learn to do that all of a sudden? And I did like that they had these little bonding moments. Like, they kind of are the same person, even though Kate doesn't want to admit it.
Right.
So,
Twinsies connection, regardless.
Yes, correct.
So I had two, they were basically like really cool one-liners that I was like, yeah, I love this. And they were all Alice, because Alice has this really fun sense of humor, and obviously Kate does not. And yeah. So Kate was like, okay, I'll help you. We'll do this thing, but we have to do it my way. And Alice was like, oh, okay. So let me think. Choking a guy so he suffocates on his own blood. I'm in. I love your way already. And I was like, that's hilarious. And then the other time when Alice was talking about trust, and she's like, I would never lie to you, sister. Like, you can trust me. Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, when have I ever lied to you? And Kate was so deadpan. And she's like, over a dozen times. Yeah, you're probably right. Okay, well, this time I won't lie. Anyways, I love the way the writers work the comedy into something that's so serious that you get those little hints of light moments where it's just fun again. And I also felt like you could really see Alice's happiness. Like, she skipped away at one point when they were going undercover and they put their little masks on, they went separate ways. Yeah. So I really, as much as she's a bad person, I really, really enjoyed the bonding. So yeah, it ticked me off when they ruined it. I thought the character was going to have her moment where she could pivot and become better. And when they fought together, didn't you think they made a great team?
Yeah, they did make a great team. The whole fight choreography in general in this episode was phenomenal. So yes. I just have to give a shout out to the stunt department.
The coordinator, it's Richard Bradshaw.
Richard Bradshaw. Well yes. Done, because it looked like a video game type
fight. Right. Everything was so spot on. I actually thought maybe it was James Bamford who choreographed Arrow. And I know I talk about that a lot, but that's the other show I had done for like 8 years, yeah. You know? And yeah. So he had started directing the episodes and he just did such a good job. So when I watched this one, I feel like as the series has progressed, so has the choreography. And I don't know if that's in part because obviously there's a stunt person, right? That's doing these stunts.
Yeah.
But in the close-ups, you know, you try to have your main actors do it. So I imagine as this show has gone on, a lot of these actors have done their training. They're getting better. So as they're getting better, the choreographers are able to choreograph some better stuff.
Yeah, but Ruby Rose did actually learn how to do the butterfly knife trick thing.
Yeah. No, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, compared to episode one, as weeks go on and she's training and training, she gets better. So they can do better stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, Grayson, I asked you a long time ago, I'm sure it probably passed in the chat, but what were some of their favorite Alice and Kate moments?
They definitely are agreeing with like just the fact that it's like the one's the funny side and one's the serious side. Peter Parker 3000 said, it seems like Alice is the fun sister while Kate is serious, like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting because, you know, you do see qualities from Bruce Wayne with Kate, which is probably meant to be, you know. So, and Gracian Ryan said, by the way, welcome, Gracian. I saw that you were late, so welcome now, is that they made a great team. So I agree. They're better together, even though it's, you know, a little bit twisted when they're together, but.
You know, and something, that was another, I guess, one-liner you could say is Alice was so quick to point out to Kate, like, you know, I forgave Mouse because I forgive people. And Kate was like, how many times have I forgiven you? Like, we're done.
Cool. Okay, but she's on a number two for betrayals, so.
Right. What else was I going to say that I really, really loved about, well, they're on a mission, obviously, to go find Mouse. Were you expecting Mouse to still have a thing against Alice at this point? Did it shock you at all that he was like, oh, hi, my friend?
I don't know. Mouse is one of those characters where I don't know that we're ever going to fully understand what's going on.
Now, given that he's been through a lot of abuse himself, obviously, the poor guy, I mean, just because of his facial deformity, has been tested on his whole life. From everybody, nurses, doctors, dad. And he also turned out a little evil and delusional himself. I'm curious, Katie, do you find him as a character forgiving the way you do with Alice?
No.
No, why?
I don't think so. I can't really think of the way to describe it, but when it comes to like their impulses and the way that they go about their actions. You know, Alice, even though she's evil and does all this stuff, she does still have some emotional reason for doing it. Whereas I don't know that Mouse necessarily has that same semi-moral compass.
Okay. I can agree with you, but then to an extent, anything he did that was awful is because he was jealous.
Yes.
He's very possessive of Alice.
Yes.
So can you fault him for being possessive for his one single friend he's only had his whole life?
No. No.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's great. Characters have layers, but it's interesting how we can empathize a little bit more for Alice versus this other guy. And I don't know if it's just because he hasn't had as much camera time and, you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Hard to say.
Well then, let's talk a little bit about who my hashtag who I love to hate was, since you love so much Luke. And here's why. I actually don't necessarily hate him. I feel bad for the guy, right? First of all, I'm sure his stomach was all the way in his throat when he found out that his father's quote-unquote murder was going to be retried. And then he got out for, I have to say he got out for free. I mean, whatever. He got free out. So yeah, I felt for him a lot. But I was like, dude, okay, you should see my notes in bold. I was like, this fucking guy, it's his fault again for wanting to be a chatty Cathy outside. This is the second person that's gotten shot by a sniper because your butt wanted to sit outside and talk. I was like, come on, man. So
I didn't think about that.
Hashtag, I hate you right now. And he confronted Reggie when Reggie is walking with this little old lady, maybe his granny. And I get that you're like your inner thought, no, this is my chance. I can talk to my father's killer. But like, clearly there's a time and a place. And how dare you walk up to him when he's with this old lady? Did that strike you at all? Or you were too busy like, yeah, go team.
Well, I don't think I necessarily too much noticed who he was with very much until you just said it. But I don't know that, I don't think that was the first thing my brain went to, but also at the same time, maybe, I mean, he does have bad timing. You're right. I hadn't thought about that until you mentioned it, because I had totally forgot about the fact that, you know,
Beth
and all that stuff. So yeah, he could work on his execution a bit.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. But do you think that, but... Do you think that he lacks certain social skills, like social cues?
Maybe that's why he didn't think.
Yeah.
I think that he is very smart. I think he's got his mind focused on one thing. And I think he has like this very loving adorability that, you know, whatever. But yeah, he just was not focused on the right thing. So yeah. I really like the Carrie, the character, Reggie. I felt for him a lot. And it made me really sad that the one day after spending years in prison for something he did not do, he gets shot and killed. Ugh, that broke my heart.
Yeah.
Anybody at home, I'm really curious, because I just went on this tangent. I probably riled a few people up at home. They're either ticked off at me or they're like, yeah.
No, it seems like most of them, a lot of people haven't said a lot, but Gratian Ryan did say he can agree about Luke, but that his timing is crappy.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are kind of on the same boat as, you know, same as you, where they're kind of not really, not necessarily hating him, but also understand that it was illy planned.
All right.
Executed.
Right.
No pun intended.
Right. I'm curious. I feel like somebody at home, some of you guys may have thought that he was on his way to try to do something to hurt this guy for vengeance. I don't know if I necessarily think he has that in him. But
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I get you. Yeah. I don't, at first I wasn't sure if he was going to try something, but he doesn't seem like a man of physical harm. But more just talking about things and trying to think of other ways to maybe psychologically get to someone.
I could see him, not that he would do this, but I could see him like going in the Batcave and going through some of the extra weapons and tools and being like, okay, I'm not going to kill this guy, but maybe I can like tie him up and make him
scare him.
So I can make him feel guilty. I expect that from him.
Yeah.
But Okay, well, that's my thing with Luke. That's it. I was happy to see him with Mary. What about you?
What did you say? Sorry.
I said I was happy to see him with Mary.
Yeah, I like that they're developing that relationship more, or at least that friendship more, whether people think that they're going to end up together or whether it's just going to be a work friends thing. But mm-hmm. I did like that, and I like that she was there for him. That was a class act. She's just, I love Mary.
Yeah.
Can I say? So.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad we got to talk about Luke a little bit. I want to also touch on the fact that we brought Julia back so that she came into the picture. I'm obviously serving a greater purpose. I'm not quite sure. And I thought, golly, back to Kate. Kate is a hot mess right now emotionally. And so for her to come in and kiss Julia at the end of the episode, I was like, girl, just get it together. No. Do you like Julia though, at least?
I don't know. I can't decide. I don't like her. I don't not like her. I feel like I don't really know enough about her to know whether how I feel about it.
I honestly thought that they brought Julia back so that she could start something with Sophie, just to confuse Sophie even more.
Yeah, I feel like she's in there to be the triangle element of this love thing between Kate and Sophie. They need that third person to make a triangle, you know? So right. I thought that too.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I didn't even see it as a triangle. I saw it more as, well, again, now this is before the ending scene. I just thought she was brought in there to be with Sophie. So that way, you know, Sophie's still trying to figure her ish out, right? And so it's like, gosh, mess her up even more by bringing this chick in. And I would have been mad at Sophie if she did get involved, having known that that is Kate's ex. Do that. X on X on X. No bueno. But talking about Sophie a little bit, she got her opportunity to be back with Commander Kane and officially on the payroll. So I'm guessing she's a crow again. And partly, do you think that there's like an underlying reason for that? How Commander just flip-flopped?
I don't know. I mean, maybe after seeing what happened with Kate, I have no idea. And at first I was like, wait, is she in good terms now? Like, I just was a little bit like lost in that. Like, we missed a whole bunch of stuff to get back to that point. So I don't know what Commander Kane, where he's at right now, honestly.
It's so funny too, because he's like, you know, not necessarily water under the bridge, but let's put our differences aside for a greater goal. Right? And so if I don't call you because I can trust you. So I don't know. That if I had to pick a second who I had to hate, that would be him.
Just I mean, like, we've said that before, so.
Oh, okay. Well,
no, I get it.
I don't know if I feel crazy about him right now. Yeah. But anyhow, so Sophie's story actually was like really, really short-winded for this particular episode. Which I guess I'm okay with because I liked watching all the other big events that were going on in the episode. But we didn't really find anything extra out about her except for the fact that she is now being hunted as well, too.
Yeah.
What do you think it is that everyone's trying to, like, if you could theorize, like, is there after Commander Kane?
Yeah.
Who, by the way, shot this guy, walked up to him and was like, who put you up to this? Dude, you just shot him. Like, your answer is Drooly Blood. That's
whatever. You might have wanted to ask that.
Yeah. I don't think, you can't ask that before. The guy was shooting at him.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Like, you expect him to be able to answer after you shot him? Like,
that part was like, okay. But then again, Sophie did the same thing when she walked in on, what's her name? I want to say Rosario, but it's not, it's like, I had a hard time picking up that name when she spoke. But anyhow, she walked in on this woman and the woman was shot in the head and she felt her pulse. And I was like, I get that some people can survive a headshot wound, but it's dead straight to the front and that blood looks like it's been there for a while. So what? Anyhow, I digress. Going back to Commander Kane, that was that. Somebody's after Commander Kane, after Sophie.
Yes.
The sip and save lady. Or sip and dash.
Yeah, where his dad was shot.
Reggie. Yeah. Yep. Reggie, well, where the dad was, okay, so I'm trying to piece together all these things, and maybe wonderful co-hosts at home who are like super, super savvy on the comics can help us out a little bit. And if you could tell us how you think these people are all connected. So again, the Sip and Dash lady, there was Reggie, Sip and Dash, Commander, Sophie. Anybody else that got targeted this episode?
Who was the one where Sophie almost got killed? Who was that? Because she was going to visit someone.
No, that's when Sophie went to the Rosario lady. She's the owner of the Sip and Save. Sip and Dash, excuse me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, gotcha.
And Lucius Fox got killed, too.
Yes. So, I mean, in Gotham, okay, there's like the sense of it being Gotham. It could be totally unrelated and random at the same time, but I don't think it is. I think they're all connected, and my guess is that the commander was somewhat responsible or would be and somewhat able to help either convict or set someone free. So that's why he is at risk, and same with Sophie. So the crows, like, they're trying to take the crows out, maybe. But I don't know.
This Fox. Yeah, I mean, we don't know that much in this realm, anyway.
Yeah, we know that. What's Julia? Is that her name? The girl that saved Sophie?
Yeah. Yes.
We know that that was her godfather. Lucius Fox was her godfather. So I have no idea. I'm stumped on this. Hold on. Let me see what the chat says real quick. So it says, Peter Parker of 3000 said, I wonder if the person who shot Reggie is the same person who is going after Mr. Kane and Sophie. I kind of got the vibe that it was, but it may not be. And then let's see. Ivan said, this is all original to the show. This isn't from the comics. Lucius Fox isn't even dead in the comics.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Ivan, because we didn't know if it was original or not. So that is helpful to know, because that means none of us know.
But, you know, and that's the thing, is it's so interesting because that's such a huge thing for some fans. They get really riled up when the shows don't follow the show. Not the show, excuse me, the comics.
Yeah.
And then, but here's my thought. Okay, first of all, it's loosely based, you know. But at the same time, too, if it followed the comics pretty accurately, storyline-wise, then anyone who read the comics would know what's happening.
Yeah.
So it's nice for them to add in their own twist to that. And maybe some of the characters might not be in a comic book. And that's okay. Like, it keeps the element of surprise. So I'm not mad at it. I'm curious in the chat if you guys are cool with that too, or if you get a little bit frustrated sometimes when the writers have a little bit of their creative liberty. But also too, going back to, so that's your guys' home assignment right now. But really quick, I just want to go on with some of the people that were killed as well. All of Alice's crew got killed.
Yes.
So, because when she's like, cats and rabbits are dead, and it took me a moment and I went, oh, she's referring to all her cats and rabbit people who not only are dead, but they got stuck in those animal traps, which those are just vile contraptions anyway.
Yeah.
But we had the letter that said, do you think I would forget? Oh, did you hold please? Did I type this right? Did you think I would forget your, I didn't put the punctuation. Did you think I would forget, comma, your friend, Coriana? Who is Coriana, guys? I didn't have a chance to look her up. She could be somebody from the comics, and if she is, I failed. I literally just watched the episode right now. So I apologize for that.
I don't know who it is either, so I'll see. I'll keep an eye on the chat, see if anybody knows who she is.
Okay.
Because I didn't have time to look it up either.
I'm not sure, but she's obviously pretty scary if she's somebody that Alice is willing to take Mouse and skip town for.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then at the very end of the episode, though, Alice says that she wants to be queen.
Yes.
That can mean many things, but obviously since last episode was all about the queen and the queen was just pure evil, why would she want to be like her abuser? Does that trigger anything for you?
I mean, queen is a very open term. Does she want to be queen of a group of people? Does she want to be, you know, the number one of a kingdom? Like, the kingdom being, I guess, Gotham, but Gotham doesn't have a king or queen. But I don't know. Like, yeah. But maybe she, maybe whatever the queen of Hearts was part of. Maybe she wants to be the person who's leading that, whoever they are.
Right. Well, I was going to say, also, you got to keep in mind Allison's character and the fact that she is so puzzly and riddle me this, if you will. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a code for everything. And she had the caterpillar, which was her abuser, and there was the queen of hearts, mm-hmm. was the lady. So her saying, I think I shall be queen. I was like, queen of Arkham or queen of, like, you want to be, like, the queen of hearts, and now you're going to start dishing out some stuff. I don't know. I'm still angry about just Alice in this whole episode. She got done dirty. But do we have any responses from our co-hosts at home as far as if they know who that character is?
Billie Jean Girl 24 said that she's okay with, like, basically the whole difference between the comics and the show as long as it makes sense. And okay. For the most part, and then it passed. Oh, wait, Peter Parker 3000 said he's fine with the shows not following the comics since it would get boring after a while. And okay. I kind of agree with that, because, like, if you always know what's going to happen, I mean, you know, with example, like, I read Walking Dead, if the show followed the comics all the time and you knew everything, every single episode, what would be the joy of that? So right. I kind of agree with that. And then someone mentioned, can everybody see Selena Kyle on this show, or is she not okay to be used because of DC rights? I mean, we don't know their rights, but it would be awesome to see Selena Kyle. So you never know. I'm hoping we see more of the Batman, Batwoman villains and that we know of and stuff from the Gotham universe. So I'm hoping, but I don't know what they have rights to or not. But that's me.
You guys, I looked up Coriana just right now just to see. It's not telling me anything.
Ivan said the place.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's desert. It says point of interest, Desert Rose.
Yeah. He said it's a place and not an island, not a person.
Oh, thank you. Then that's a really weird. Oh, okay. So then that's my fault. I misread the note when it said, did you think I would forget your friend, Coriana? So I just figured that was a person. But to now say, would you ever forget that place? I wonder if that means Alice was locked there at some point.
Yeah, it could be. It could be kind of like another
threat. Know, could be like I'm going to say a threat that I'll put you there. I don't know.
Like, you know, Oliver Queen on his island, you know, like they always have like this place. So, yeah. And then Ivan also said Alice calling herself Queen could be a hint to Red Alice from the comics, where Alice becomes an anti-heroine.
Oh.
I guess we'll see on that.
Well, I mean, she's already an anti-heroine, isn't she?
I know. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Really quick, my question to you, Katie, and the rest of the chat. I feel like we've covered a lot of this episode. I don't want to, like, rehash, like, super detailed details, but I do want to make sure that we didn't leave anything out that people at home are like, you have to talk about this moment. It was so good. So let me know if you guys think of anything. Katie, did I miss anything that you really felt like was pertinent to this episode?
I feel like we mentioned most of the things. I'm not thinking of anything. Let me see. I'll check my notes real quick. But
well, no, I mean, is there anybody then? I know this is not like our thing, but is there somebody like a hashtag who you love to hate?
I mean, I don't like Sophie, but that's not okay. Anything new.
No, you know why? Because for me, when I love to hate somebody, it's because I hate the character so much, but I love it because the actor is so good at playing that thing that I hate.
If I get you.
Yeah, like if I didn't hate you, you're not doing a good job.
No, yeah, I get you. Mama Never Dead said, oh, Mad Hatter on Batwoman, think of that. Because I am curious if we're going to see a Mad Hatter.
Awesome, great. Does anybody think we're going to see Batman? Do we have any news on that?
No one said anything about that.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I feel like we've wrapped a lot or covered a lot for this particular episode. I know we have our Real Life Badass Beat. And then we also have our news and gossip. So let's go ahead and do our Real Life Badass Beast.
So
we don't have special effects right now.
So the Real Life Badass Beast goes to, I never know how to say his name, Duggery? How do you say his name?
I say Duggery.
Duggery?
But that's okay, not probably, saying that I'm correct.
That's probably more correct. Duggery Scott. His wife, I guess, worked with Weinstein on some projects, and he came out talking about how he's been really supportive of the Me Too movement. And so he's the badass beast of the week in the sense that he told the Daily Telegraph newspaper, he had an interview where he's basically saying that he worked loosely with Weinstein on a handful of projects, and on reflection, he wishes that they never worked together because he always said he had a questionable character. And so he's basically just been really supportive of his wife and of other women for speaking out and getting the truth out there. And just not just with this case, but with multiple cases across the entertainment industry. And anybody who can be an advocate for sexual abuse in the industry and in general in life, I mean, that's pretty honorable and badass type thing to do. So I found that article and I'm like, yeah, wasn't expecting to find something like, you know, we haven't touched on any of the other, like, always talked about the, like, the main characters and none of the other characters. So I was trying to find something on someone else that we hadn't talked about yet. So, and I was really excited about that, especially in the light of this being a show where we have a lot of female characters and knowing that they have someone behind their backs, like, that's advocating for them. If something were to happen, you know that he's going to be supportive of the Me Too movement. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Awesome. Cool. So let's get into some news and gossip then.
AfterBuzz TV news.
Guys, don't you love this at home studio? I mean, the special effects. Our budget? Whoa. Okay, so first things first, I have a picture of Rachel Scarston. This is me also checking in with you guys to see what you're doing at home. I checked in with a couple of these characters just because I'm like, oh, what is everybody doing with this whole isolation, social distancing? It's like, oh, so... I don't know if you guys can see the words. I'll read a little bit of it to you, but this is a picture of her. It's from a photo that she did a few weeks ago. And she's just saying how, reflecting back, it's before everything changed. You know, the quarantine, the economic uncertainty, illness, fear. I remember I was worried that day about something that seems insignificant now, as I worry I had related to the path that I thought my life would most certainly take me in the months ahead. So basically she's like worrying about the future, and this whole thing has caused her to step back and reflect on just everything that's going on and what's important. So anywho, you can read the rest of it if you go to her Instagram. It's a beautiful picture and just...
It's on the screen right now, so...
Yeah. And so, well, I mean, for anybody who is listening on iTunes, which PS thank you guys, if you're listening on iTunes, please like, rate, comment, and subscribe. So... One thing about this whole movement, and I know news is not about me sharing my opinion, but I will just say this. It's forcing people to do the things that sometimes we neglect, whether it's self-reflection, spending more time with our families, our pets. I've seen a lot of people going outdoors and going for walks and hikes, and I think that's fantastic. So if we can focus on some of those positive things,
yes, then
we'll get through it. You know? We got each other. We got AfterBuzz. I got Katie, and so do you.
Yeah. And we're all here so that everybody of you that watches us can also still get through this together, too. So,
yeah. Yes. And so my second picture is actually Megan Tandy, and this is just her working out, right? But you can tell she's at home. She's got her little dumbbells, you know what I mean, her tile on the ground. So I just say that everyone's finding ways to be creative to make good use of their time at home, and this is what some of your favorite cast members are doing while they're at home. Now, my last person, I brought up this picture because I feel like you guys should know the face of this man because he's a genius behind all of the stunt choreography that we saw.
Nice.
Yes. So again, that's Richard Bradshaw. I had my suspicions that it was somebody else, but not. And so regardless, I feel like sometimes people behind the scenes deserve just as much attention as people in front of the camera because it takes an army to make a show.
Yeah. So.
My salutes to him. He's technically a badass as well.
But oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my news. Now it's time for predictions. Okay, Katie, you are prediction music. Go.
Oh, all right. And chat, if you guys have predictions, please send them this way. I'll try to shout them out when we're done with this for a second. For my predictions is
I just put you in charge of predictions music. So give me your predictions.
AfterBuzz TV predictions. I don't even remember what it says.
Woo, woo, light slash, light slash. Okay, okay. So now you can go.
Sorry.
Go ahead. That's good. All right. Go.
You know, I know I said it last week, but I still think that we're not done seeing the dark side of Kate. I think that she's going to continue to kind of spiral out of control a little bit because I feel like she's going to have to finally find who she is and what she wants to be as Batwoman. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be an awkward love triangle between her and Sophie and, why can't I think of her name right now?
Julia.
Her ex. Julia. I wanted to say Julia, but I was like, is that right? I feel like there's going to be a love triangle with that. So you're going to possibly see Kate maybe back off a little bit from the Sophie thing and then focus on this for the time being, because we all know Sophie's going to happen eventually. But this was their little wrench to, like, throw a curveball into that situation.
Right. I'm going to piggyback off of that prediction, too, because I do think that Julia is going to be a love interest, but I think that Kate is going to dive in because of the fact that she's not thinking clearly. She's emotionally in a place where she's unstable and she just wants to feel coddled and loved, or, you know, what she's dealing with. I think that Sophie's not necessarily going to get involved. And again, Sophie has no idea that she was making out with with Kate, when Kate had the Batwoman mask on. So Sophie thinks that she's had a little thing with Batwoman. Cool. She had that phone call from Kate last episode. We played and touched upon it this episode, where she returns the text. Excuse me, it was a text. Now she calls her, just making sure you're okay. And then to now see Kate, just Kate, with the other chick, I think Sophie's going to start getting really jealous. And that's going to cause some changes in her and make her confess her undying love and maybe force her to come out, because she's not going to screw it up a second time around. That is my prediction for that. I had another one. Oh, I also think that the show is purposefully, in my opinion, showing Kate drinking. She's never drunk before. And now, ever since she killed this dude, she's full on like hard liquor. Like she's not even like a party, like when she was in the club scenes or whatever. Mind you, she was in the working field. But still, you know what I mean? She's never been one to have, like, quick, before I go out and fight the streets. So it's something.
Yeah.
Shadowing.
Yeah.
Co-host at home, what do you guys think?
Let's see. Billie Jean Girl, I predict that Alice is going to escape. Obviously, oh, I think we all.
Girl.
With or without Mouse is the big question there. Okay. And then Peter Parker 3000, I predict Alice is going to break out of Arkham. So. Because no villain stays there long.
No, I mean, of course not.
You know, they say it's a good prison. Is it, though?
Right. You would think after all the people that have done broken out of their Arkham would get, you know, I don't know, invest in a better security system. Better security guards. Ones that don't eat donuts.
Yeah. And then Ivan said, now I'm not sure exactly on this, what he's implying about. He's saying that they referenced the Ortiz, the many arms of death again, and that I don't know how to say that name, Ivan, I apologize, but he's saying that that character could be season two's big bad. So he thinks they're teasing something for season two, which is a good, we're getting to like the end of the season, which is predictable.
Okay, well, cool. You guys, thank you so much for participating in the chat as far as our predictions and all that stuff. If any of you guys are watching this at a delayed time, cool. Or you just leave a comment below. I know it's late for some of y'all. And find us on social media, because we love to chat. All things Batwoman. Katie, what's your social handle?
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at KT_Christine.
Cool. So leave her comments, follow her. And then find me. I'm at yours truly, Ali Kona, with little underscores in between. I'm on Instagram, mainly, not as much on Twitter. So definitely find us. But we had a fantastic time with you guys hanging out with us at home, you guys in your pajamas. So we'll see you guys next week. Thank you so, so much. Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
Yeah, to our engineers that are working really, really hard overtime to make these conferences happen. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone. See you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.